Going to be a little bit different this morning without our monitors. I'm going to be looking over my shoulder. I said that I've been doing that most all my life anyway, so this morning will be no different. Just looking over my shoulder. Revelation 19 is going to be our text. This is what AI gave me when I asked for to create a visual image from Revelation 19 with the title After These Things. And so this is what it came up with, and I kind of liked it, so I'm using it this morning for our title slide, After These Things. We're going to read the text from the New International Version. That's what I like to read out of, and that's what I usually preach out of. But the title comes from the way that the New American Standard begins Acts 19, and After These Things. I'm preaching this sermon for all of us today, but especially I've got several of our precious sisters in mind. Hopefully they're watching online. Debbie Mustaine, I'm preaching this for you, Debbie. This is also for our sister Joyce Mendenhall. And I'm adding our sister Grace Wade as well to this, After These Things. I'm preaching this especially for you three women, and then all the rest of us will hopefully benefit because it's the Word of the Lord. Let's read from the Word of God. I have to look back here. This is the Word of the Lord, Revelation 19. We're not going to be dealing with all of the symbols that Brent talked about. I think it may be time for another class on the book of Revelation. Brent is our resident expert on the book, but I'm using the text to deal with some things that are happening here today. Let's pay attention and give honor to the word of the Lord. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants." And again they shouted, "Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever." The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne. And they cried, "Amen, hallelujah." And we're going again. Up, oh, go back. I'll go back. You go back. Verse 5. I'll go back. You go back. Verse 5. I'm going to read it from my Bible. Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants who fear him, both small and great." Verse 6. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder shouting, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns." Are we going to have some slides? "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns." That's a refrain that we're going to come back to time and time again this morning, and they're going to get it on the screen. Here we go. When I point to you, when we come to this scripture, when I point to you, I want you to say with me, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns." All right? Say it with me. "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns." If you leave here with nothing else this morning, I want you to hear that refrain. the rest of the afternoon. I want you to hear it tomorrow when you get up. I want you to hear it every day this week. Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Of all of the scripture, of all of the things that are written in the Bible to encourage and to inspire our hearts, these words from Revelation 19 are almost without equal. This is a message that sends a thrill to heaven and it sends a chill down to hell. Notice how the message comes to us. This is from the New American Standard. It says, "And after these things." I like that. Instead of the NIV just says, "After this," I like what the New American Standard says, "And after these things." That phrase appears 5 times in the book of Revelation and kind of provides a natural division for our study. After these things, after the long night of tribulation, after the anguish and suffering under the ruthless reign of the Antichrist, after the dread mark of the beast, without which no man could buy or sell, after the 7 angels had poured their 7 last vials of horror and terror upon the world, full of unspeakable and deadly plagues, after the destruction of once mighty and prosperous Babylon, the harlot that had enslaved missionaries, this was an unending night of terror for God's children. A tunnel that has no end, a valley that has no exit. But then comes one of God's blessed after these things. After the night comes the day. After the weeping comes the joy. After the sadness comes the comfort. After the defeat comes the victory. After the storm, there's the calm. After the terror, there is the peace of God. After these things, a voice, a great voice from the throne of God is directed to all those that fear Him. That's why a child of God should never, ever, ever, ever give up hope. For God, the Almighty, has provided an after these things for each and every one of His children. There is nothing that will not be set right by God. I believe that with all of my heart. All the wrong that has ever been done to you, all of the injustices, all of the pain, all of the heartache, all of the heartbreak, there is nothing that will not be set right by God. God will not allow anything to defeat you for long. He will always bring about an after these things in your life. So we can always say, it may look bad now, but just wait. A day is coming, my day is coming, when God will set it all right. A day when God Himself will personally wipe away all the tears that I have cried. And you may say, Rodney, that's going to take God a while to wipe away all of your tears. And it might, but I believe He's going to do it. After these things. Our sisters are struggling right now. They've got a big battle ahead of them. Some have been battling for quite a while. And I'm just going to tell you up front, in hopes that it might alleviate and help me. But as I preach through this sermon, you know, after trying to write some things down on the page and then try to preach through it Friday and Saturday, I just got choked up at my kitchen table just preaching it to myself. So I don't have any idea what's going to happen today, but I do have something of an idea. So maybe letting you know that ahead of time, it will help me stave off some of the tears. Notice how this message is announced. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder shouting, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns." I don't know how big a great multitude is. Back in 1951, when General Douglas MacArthur took his farewell from Japan, it is said that 2.5 million people lined the streets. They were screaming, shouting, and crying until the whole city trembled underneath their feet. I don't know how much noise many waters make, but I think of 1,000 Niagara Falls. Have you ever seen Niagara Falls? Have you ever heard the sound that it makes when the water just comes rushing over? Think about 1,000, 1 million Niagaras cascading down into the whirlpools below. And then there's the sound, the mighty peals of thunder. Do we have it? Oh, I want my next slide. The mighty peals of thunder, the cannonading of the atmosphere declaring, "Hallelujah," say it with me, "for the Lord God Almighty reigns." Go to the next slide if you can. It should just be that text. Above the cries of the hungry and the undernourished, the blast of angry propagandists, the ear-splitting scream of a world racing to ruin, can be heard the chorus of heavenly voices, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns." Thank you. We're 2 slides behind. What? Do the clicker. All right, I'm doing it. All right. A few centuries ago, it was totally different. The one that was proclaimed as sovereign Lord had to flee for his life to Egypt. After growing up, there were upset neighbors in Nazareth. They attempted to throw him over a cliff because they were offended by his message. The natives of Gadara proclaimed him persona non grata, somebody we don't want around, we don't want you here, because he had ruined their hog business. His infuriated fellow citizens demanded his crucifixion. His friends laid him gently to rest in Joseph's borrowed rock grave. The Pharisees congratulated themselves upon liquidating this religious revolutionary. The fervor would soon die down, they hoped. The loathsome leper languished in his filthy rags, and he cried out monotonously that hated word, "unclean," to the passerby. Blind men groped on in their darkness, holding out empty hands for a handout. The disciples cowered in terror, disillusioned, and crushed. It's over. But out of the hurting silence came a voice they had never heard before. "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. And so it was with John on the Isle of Patmos, Rome's Devil Island, if you will, where she dumped her moral refuse, where she sent anarchists and murderers and revolutionaries and the hopeless. Oh, that we, like John the Revelator, might shut out the harsh and distressing noises, close our ears to the doom and the gloom, and learn to fellowship God and the Spirit, and let Him say to our tested faith, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns." Every act of power, every act of Jesus was an act of power. What a magnificent act of power was displayed when Jesus touched the poor leper and made him completely whole. Who can imagine the rejoicing when the leper passed the priest's examination? You have to go show yourself to the priest. When he passed the priest's examination and he returned home to his family, maybe to his wife and to his children whom he had been separated from so many sad years. Imagine that leper leading his family in this outburst of praise. Hallelujah! For the even over leprosy. He reigns even over leprosy. Now look at the moral lepers of our land who need healing and cleansing. Homes, marriages, families, hurting minds, crushed hearts, all need healing. And the healer is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Follow him across the beautiful Sea of Galilee. Without warning, the storm strikes. Fear and anxiety grip his followers. Terror stricken, they cry, "Master, don't you care that we're drowning? Carest thou not that we perish?" With what majesty our Lord arises, moves his hand across the storm and says, "Be quiet, peace, be still." The winds and the waves hush and fall at his command. Who is this man? Who is this man that even the winds and waves obey him? Throughout the Galilean hills and across the Syrian mountains can be heard the triumphant refrain, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns." Even over the winds and the waves. Our Lord has the power to bring about the needed words. And after these things, how many days of joy have ended up in nights of unspeakable sorrow? How many solid and happy homes are viciously torn apart by the monsters of immorality and infidelity? These are storms of sickness, storms of misfortune, bereavements, the loss of homes, the breakup of families. Wherever humans go, there's tragedy. Because we are wrapped in a body of flesh that is prone to sin. We are fallen people, and we live in a fallen world. But into the storm, into the heartache, into the grief, comes our Lord Jesus with his gentle voice and a healing touch, saying, "Peace, be still." Come with me to Bethany. Lazarus is buried there. Of Jesus' coming to the grave of his friend, John wrote that Jesus wept. We know that as the shortest verse in all of the Bible. Jesus wept. He wept for a friend. Yes, but for more than a friend. Because you see, in Lazarus's death, Jesus saw every funeral, every bereaved heart and home. He saw the tears, he saw the heartache, the loneliness, the emptiness. Yes, your tears. Jesus saw your heartache, your loneliness, your emptiness. And then with a loud voice and a mighty command, the Lord of life said, "Lazarus, come forth." And out of the grave, Lazarus came alive and well. What happened that day in Bethany will happen in every cemetery where a child of God lies sleeping, waiting for the trumpet call, the after these things. When he comes, he will throw the machinery in reverse, and the grave, which could only say, "Give me," Jesus will say to the grave, "Give up." And then every grave will shout, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns." If Christ lives, then life has meaning. There is hope, even in the most difficult of circumstances. There's hope. Even at the very end of my rope, here is a knot that I can tie on and hang on to. If Christ did defeat death, if my life goes on forever because of what he has done, if the gospel is true, then I can live courageously. I can live victoriously. Even in the midst of cancer, even in the midst of sickness, even in the midst of heartache, even in the midst of heartbreak, even in the midst of desperation, if Christ is alive, if the grave is empty, then there is victory. And the child of God is never without hope. That's why we should never, ever, ever, ever give up hope. And as I prayed this morning, as I said in class, we must be so careful that when God answers our prayer the way we pray it, in the affirmative, he brings healing. Yes, we give God glory. We give him all of the praise. But what if God doesn't answer that? What if God doesn't say yes? What if there is no healing? Is God no longer good? Is he no longer worthy of my praise when he doesn't answer in the affirmative? God is worthy. God is worthy of glory and honor and praise, even when he doesn't answer in the affirmative, even when he doesn't heal. Because we've got to understand that the ultimate healing is not in this life. If I've understood the scriptures correctly, there's going to come a day when every grave is going to open up. And those of us who have put our faith and our trust and our hope in Jesus, we're going to get this old body that's prone to death and decay, and he's going to resurrect that body, and it's going to be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to have a new body, a spiritual body, a body that God will give immortality to, and we will live with him forever. Come on. That's what the gospel says, that life and immortality come through the gospel. And so if Christ is alive, and I believe that he is, life has meaning. I can overcome my fears by his grace, and I can be all that he intends for me to be, regardless of what is happening to me. I need never tolerate the possibility of absolute hopelessness and failure. Not if Christ is alive. If he is risen from the grave, then I have hope. And it is that knowledge that he has given his followers the power over their circumstances in every error for 2,000 years. They faced the gladiators. They faced the lions in the Colosseum. They faced the evil world that was bent on killing them. They faced the sickness, the pain, the death that confronts every man. But they faced it differently from every man because they faced it with hope. Hope of the resurrection. Because he has the power to reign and to always give his children the hope that there will be an after these things, we say with the saints of every generation, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. It is with that knowledge and with that hope that we face every new day with courage. If Christ is for me, who can be against me? What can man do to me? Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. After these things, whatever these things are that you're dealing with, whether it's cancer, it's breast cancer, the aging of your spouse, the dementia, the Alzheimer's that he's dealing with, whatever it is in your life, there will come a time when you say, after these things, and God will make it all right. It's all going to be right. It's all going to be made better. Whatever pain, whatever burden you've been carrying because of something that happened to you when you were a child, an adult, and whatever sins you've committed that you've hurt other people, God's going to make it all right because the grave is empty and our Lord God Almighty reigns.